Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm glad you're here today. We are going to be in two passages. One is Matthew 24, and one is 1 Thessalonians 4. I just want to make a few comments this morning about what's going on in the Middle East, particularly Israel. It's been attacked, and to talk about what do we do. I've had a lot of questions this week, and I'm sure other pastors have. Is the rapture coming? Are we at the end times? Is the second coming here? And are we that close? Come Lord Jesus, right? And so I want to address that with Scripture. I don't have an answer for you. I just want to say that right up front. I don't have a day or a time. But I want to just share what the Scripture says about what may happen toward the end times. And if we're there, we're there. What do we do? If we're not there, what do we do? The question still comes back is how are we going to live our life tomorrow in spite of what's happening today with Israel and the countries surrounding it. So Matthew 24, Jesus addresses this for just a little bit. Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24:36. It says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So if you see somebody coming out saying, oh, it's going to be on a certain day at a certain time and when the moon's at a certain place in the sky, just go ahead and write that one off. Go ahead and plan a party for that day. It's not happening, right? But God's, nobody knows. The Father knows when the right time is, and he's going to make it happen in the right time. So to begin with, if you hear some preacher saying he knows exactly when it's going to happen, just kind of turn that one off. He missed it somewhere. Verse 37, it says, As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and up to the day Noah entered the ark, and then they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch. That's the key word for us, is the word watch. Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, and he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So we may be in a time where we expect Jesus to come back, and he's going to say, well, that's not the time I'm coming back. We may be in a time where we are thinking he's going to come tomorrow, or he's going to come next week, or he's not going to come at all, and that's when he does come back. He's saying, you're just not going to know, right? Don't build your life around knowing a certain day and time. Years ago, in my first pastorate, Debbie and I had some church members there, a young family with two children. And they had bought into this particular person's theory of when Jesus was coming back. It's 30 years ago. And they sold their house. They sold everything they had and gave it to this guy because he had a radio station. And his promise was he had figured out how to run continuously the gospel of Jesus Christ over the radio after he was raptured. Right? That's a good laugh. That's an appropriate laugh. It was perfect timing. Like, who's going to sit there and run the radio if he thinks he's raptured? If this preacher guy has got a radio station, he thinks he's going to be raptured, who's going to run the radio? Now, this was 30 years ago. This is before computers and things that could run things for a while, right? And they sold everything. And then the day came, and nothing happened. And then he came out and said, I missed it by a week. So that's hung around for a week, hung around for another month, hung around for 3 months. And they wound up living with their parents. They had to get jobs again. They had to get cars again. They had to buy a house again. They had to go through the whole thing all over again, right? Because they bought into it. So the Bible says that people are going to be going about their lives. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. People are going to be fighting. There's going to be stuff going on. Heinous things going on, which we saw when Israel was attacked. People are going to go about their lives. And they're going to go about their lives, is what he's saying. So Jesus is coming back at some point. Don't try to pinpoint a date. So what do we do in the meantime? Let's look in 1 Thessalonians. Paul gives the folks there a good word. He says, Jesus is coming back, And here's what you're supposed to do. And I chose the word watch, W-A-T-C-H. Jesus said, keep watch, right? Keep a lookout, watch. So we got five things this morning, right? Keep watch. You may want to jot these down. What do we do in light of that? So 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want y'all to be ignorant either, okay? About those who fall asleep, that is, people that you know and love who die in Jesus. I don't want you to be ignorant about that. I want you to know. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. In other words, people who fall asleep in Jesus, they fall asleep here, they wake up with Jesus, right? The best way you can die is to fall asleep in your sleep and wake up with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Amen. Amen? So you can ask God for that. God, can I just please fall asleep here and wake up with you there, right? It's a good question. It's a good thing to ask, right? My mom used to say there's a lot of things worse than death. And as a teenager, I didn't fully understand that. But as an adult, I do. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Have you heard that yet? But he hasn't come back yet. Okay. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So I'm encouraging this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged with these words, right? Be encouraged with these words. Amen? Now, there are a lot of books written, hundreds of theology books written about when Jesus comes. Is he going to come before the rapture? Is he going to come at the rapture, before the millennium, before the tribulation, before the, you know, all these words we use. It doesn't matter. He's coming. Right? Just be ready. Just be ready when he comes. Right? Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Isn't that what Jesus just said? He said, if the man of the house had known when the thief was coming, he would have prepared for it. That's right. He used the same analogy here. Paul's using the same analogy. Now, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, what I've discovered about pregnant women, and I've known a couple in my day, right, is that there are things called Braxton Hicks contractions. You know what I'm talking about? It's the false labor. There's nothing false about it, right, ladies? It's just as painful as the real labor, right? You know, And we did that with our first. It's like with the Braxton Hicks, we go to the hospital. Oh, you got a few more weeks. What? Got a few more weeks, right? So there's Braxton Hicks, and then there's the real labor pains that start, and they're kind of like, and then there's a real labor that starts, right? Get this baby out of me now, right? That's what I was told one time. After 36 hours of labor. I had no idea how to do that. I just said Jesus. That's all I had. So it's going to come on that way. There's going to be Braxton Hicks contractions in this world. We may be seeing it right now in Israel. That's a possibility. That's what we're seeing. We could be seeing labor pains right now with what's taking place. Certainly a possibility. I would suggest that you watch Iran and see what they do. Because the Bible says there'd be an army from the east. And Iran, of course, is controlled by Russia. Right? Russia's Gog and Magog. That's mentioned in Ezekiel. And so if Russia signs up and partners up with Iran to attack Israel, then we may have something. We may need to polish our flight suit, right? But we can keep an eye on that. We can see the times and the seasons. So watch that. That's what I'll tell you. But apart from that, it could be labor pains, it could be false labor pains, or no labor pains at all. But you, brothers, you're not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Oh my God, I didn't know Jesus was coming back. Oh my, nobody ever told me that. No, you're not going to be surprised. Come on now, we've been talking about this for years. All of us as Christians. Don't be surprised. Like, oh my, what is that? Who is that coming back? I've never heard of that. That's what lost people will say. But not us. We're going to be singing what? Hallelujah. Do what? Holy, holy, holy. Exactly. But that day shouldn't surprise us like a thief. You're all sons and daughters of the light, and you're sons and daughters of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk in the night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people think, a lot of pastors and teachers think, that that verse means that we won't go through the tribulation. That Jesus is coming back before the wrath of God falls on mankind. Now that doesn't, right, let it be, but that doesn't mean it's not going to get bad before the tribulation starts. It could get really bad, and then the tribulation starts, right? It's like the doctor, the dentist says, this is not going to hurt much, right? It's going to be a little prick. You know, then the drill starts, right? He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Hallelujah. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage your neighbor. Hey, you folks listening online, if you haven't got anybody encouraging you, I'm encouraging you this morning. Be encouraged. And build each other up. Look at your neighbor and say, you look marvelous. Build them up. That's right. We build each other up. Just as, in fact, you are doing now. Amen. I love this congregation. I love y'all. Y'all build each other up so much. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Just beautiful. Thank you. Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. That would be me and Pastor Wayne at this point in this church, right? So you're to honor us with banana pudding. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on, I got some of mine. Yours doesn't say that? That's the King Jimmy version. I messed up, Pastor Wayne. So you having fun back there too? He's talking about sausage balls. We can add that in there for you, Pastor. You're worthy of sausage balls. Hold them in the highest regard and love. Don't worship them. Don't put them on a pedestal. Your pastors are human beings who have a calling to equip the body of Christ. All right? We all have callings. We're all human beings. Mine and Pastor Wayne's is just to equip the body of Christ. That's our calling. We all have callings, different things. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of the work of their work. Live in peace with each other. It's interesting you throw that in there when he's talking about pastors and churches. I'm sorry, I could take a rabbit trail right now. Talk about some folks who could not live with peace with me for some reason. I don't understand why. Never brought me banana pudding. I don't get it. I won't go there. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. How do I have to be patient with a 3-year-old? I do. What about the 30-year-old? What about the 13-year-old? That's not in the Bible. I see that face. I see that face. No, you don't have to be patient with a 13-year-old. Just walk away. Put the hand up, walk away. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. All right, so five things right quick like. We're supposed to keep watch. The first one is keep working. W-A-T-C-H-W. Keep working. What are you supposed to do tomorrow? I mean, even if you're retired, you got work. Amen? You got more work now than you had before, right? I see her elbowing you over there. So. We've all got something to do tomorrow, right? We've all got something we do. And so what Paul is telling them is, if Jesus is coming back, just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Right? Don't be like the family I mentioned 30 years ago who quit everything and sitting there waiting on Jesus to come back. Right? No, get up and go to work. One of the great preachers, I don't know if it was Spurgeon or Moody, is one of those great preachers 100 years ago. And someone asked him, what would you do differently tomorrow or today if you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow? And he pulled out his calendar and he said, well, I've got all these appointments today and I've got these appointments tomorrow. In other words, he's going to keep doing what he was supposed to do that day. The Bible admonishes, Paul admonishes, he tells those people, stop being idle. Apparently somebody said, well, Jesus is coming back. I'm not doing anything else. Why should I go to work? Right? Why should I go to work? I'm just going to wait on Jesus. No, he said, stay busy. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Work for the Lord, not for men, because it is the Lord you are serving. I want to be found working. I would love to be found out in the marketplace witnessing to people in one of the big boxes when Jesus comes back. I'm working. I don't want to be found in my study praying and worshiping, although that's a really good thing to do. I don't want to be found there. I want to be found working. Right? I can pray as I go while I'm working. I can worship as I go. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man will not work, he should not eat. Right? So some people have sat back and said, I'm just going to wait on Jesus to come out. Y'all feed me. You ain't getting my banana pudding. If you ain't working, you ain't getting a spoonful. I'm sorry. You can't even lick the spoon after I'm done with it. Get up and get to work. Colossians 4:5 says, make the most of every opportunity. So if Jesus is coming back, what are we supposed to do? Keep working. If he's not coming back real soon, what are we supposed to do? Keep working. Yeah, keep working. Second thing, keep abounding in grace. It says in 5:15, it says, always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Who's the everyone else? Yeah, yeah. The people you run into that aren't part of your family of God that you hang out with, right? Keep abounding in grace. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you hear that? God is going to give you all that you need to keep abounding in grace. Some of you are in difficult situations and you need some grace for what you're going through. Some of you are not in difficult situations right now, right? You don't need as much grace to get you through something. But all of us, if we have any age on us, have needed an extra measure of grace. Amen? Some of you listening online, you know what I'm talking about. You have needed an extra measure of grace for what you're dealing with. Paul says, keep abounding in grace. God, I need more grace for the situation that I'm in. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, third thing. So we're to keep working. We're to keep abounding in grace. And the third thing is we're to keep telling people about Jesus. Right? It says in verse 19, it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And so the Spirit is always leading us to tell people about Jesus. The Bible, Jesus said that the Spirit will come and help you remember what I told you, but he will send you out to tell others what I've told you. That's That's the anointing that we all carry. It's the Holy Spirit who is encouraging us to tell people about Jesus. So if Jesus is coming back soon, we need to tell people about Jesus. But if Jesus is going to be a while before he comes back, we need to what? Keep telling people about Jesus. Acts 1:8, you shall be my witnesses, right? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. Right? This is not an option. Jesus said, hey, if you want to, you can tell some people about me. It'd be pretty cool if you do that. But it's all right if you don't. I won't be mad or anything. Did Jesus water it down like that? No, he said, you are my witnesses. You are my hands and feet. I'm leaving you in charge. Occupy until I come back. Tell people about Jesus until I come back. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus says, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. However, if you disown me before men, I will disown you before my Father. Ouch. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you to tell someone about Jesus, whether it's using your words or whether it's some action you do, some action of love, some act of kindness that you do, do it. Right? Don't back up and say, I'm not going to. Trust the Holy Spirit in the process. Just trust the Holy Spirit. Fourth thing, we're to keep comforting one another. We've already read it. It says, encourage one another, build one another up. Help the timid, right? Those who are timid, encourage them as well. Keep comforting one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, who comforts us, that is Jesus comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others through Christ. His comfort overflows to them, right? If you've been troubled, God will use that to help someone else, for you to help someone else comfort them, right? Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily. And then the words we read here, encourage one another as we approach the day. We're to encourage one another. So keep doing that. Keep sending out those cards and letters and emails and text messages. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? So if we do see Iran and Russia team up and start coming against Israel, that just means we need to encourage people more. We need to get our list from last year and start encouraging those people, and the year before that and start encouraging those people to trust in Jesus or to cry out to Jesus or to get back in church, get back involved in a fellowship somewhere. The more we see the day approaching, the more we need to get busy. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. So keep working. Keep abounding in grace. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep comforting one another. And lastly, keep holding on to that which is good. Keep holding on. It says right here, keep hold on to that which is good. Avoid every kind of evil, but hold on to that which is good. Philippians 3:12 says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. So what are we to hold on to? What did Paul say in Corinthians? The three things that remain are faith, hope, and love. We should hang on to our faith in Christ. I'm hanging on to this, holding on to this, right? Faith, hope. We should hold on to the hope that Christ is coming back. Maybe it's this week, maybe it's next year, 10 years, but we need to hold on to that hope. And we need to hold on to that love, that pure agape, that's the Greek word for love, that pure unselfish love. Let's hold on to that. You know, if you have someone that you love, some people, a body of Christ, a family, what if you love them, hold on to that. It says in Matthew 24, we didn't read it, verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, as we head toward the end times, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's what it says. Not the love of many, but most. And he's talking about Christians there. As we head toward end times, right? The love of most will grow cold. Christians' love will grow cold. Let's don't be that. Let's hold on to that love. Let's kindle that love. Let's, and you know, the love in the Bible is talking about is actions. It's not saying I love you, although that's a great thing to do. It's demonstrating the love. Agape is always an act of demonstration. It goes beyond the words. It comes from the heart. I want to demonstrate my love toward you. Right? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Avoid evil. Run from it as best you can. Avoid it. But hold on to that which is good. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you so much for your love that never runs out for us. Never, ever. Your love has been consistent from the foundation of the world and beyond. So thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and to come back to life and to live in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for taking all the sin of all the world into yourself so that we could have salvation in you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the one who guides us, protects us, comforts us, encourages us, challenges us, convicts us. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us in this moment. Have your way with us. We will not put out the Spirit's fire in this room this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.